Hello, and welcome to the sixth episode of the Kol Nefesh Yamim Noraim Liturgical Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Schlesinger, and I'm recording this podcast during the COVID-19 pandemic. Today, I am joined by my guest, Liz Pritta, a co-convener at Kol Nefesh. Without much further ado, here's episode 6. Thank you for joining me, Liz. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Really excited to be here.
Yes, very excited to have you. I would like to start this episode by looking at various themes from a bit of a distance, and then we'll zoom in on the focus of the podcast, which is the High Holiday Tefillah. We all have our own story about how we reached our position within the community. I was wondering if you could talk about your journey towards becoming a co-convener in a Shliach Tzibur at Kol Nefesh.
Wow, that could be a big journey. I mean, I grew up in Beckenham in South London, and I went to Bromley Reform Synagogue when I was growing up. My mother is very involved in that synagogue, and I guess the apple doesn't fall far from the tree as I saw her getting more and more involved. But I think Kol Nefesh is a very special place. When I came to Kol Nefesh, I came through my husband, Danny. He was already a member. And I remember going to the services. They were very different to the Reform services. They're very traditional, much less English, included all the choreography that we don't necessarily have in the Reform services. And I loved them, and I thought they were amazing. At the same time, I was utterly distraught because I didn't understand them. And I hadn't grown up with them. I remember there was one particular time during the Amidah where I actually broke down and I just started crying. I saw all these people moving forwards, moving backwards, didn't know what they were doing. I didn't understand it, but I really wanted to know. I was desperate to understand and to know. And the reason that Kol Nefesh is such a special place is that it's so open to teaching and it's so open to empowering people to have that knowledge. And as I was going through this process, I think the next week or in like, you know, very short, felt like a short space of time, Jackie suddenly put on a course to learn the Amidah. And I was like, oh my gosh, there it is. Amazing. Fantastic. And I went on that course and I got more and more involved trying to grasp really any teaching that was given. And then she did a course, How to Lead Masaf. So I went on that. And that was really how I got into leading the services and loving them and really, really loving the Nusach, loving the melodies and feeling very empowered. You know, Chazan Jackie is an amazing person. She's so full of knowledge that she imparts on such an accessible level that we're so blessed to have her in our community, basically. And the other thing that she's amazing at is empowering people. And I was so nervous the first time I stood up in front of the community and felt so unworthy. You know, how can I do this? Who am I to stand up and try and lead this congregation in prayer and connect them to prayer? And she's just go for it, you know? That's Jackie. She just says, just go for it. Just let it out. We're all supporting you. And that's truly what happens. That's what's so wonderful is that nobody wants to make a mistake. But if you do, the community is all there with you and you feel that as the Shliach Tzibur. I feel utterly blessed that I found this community and Jackie and everybody in it. The other side of your story of how I became co-convener came to mind. The first time I came to Kol Nefesh, after Kiddush, everyone was clearing up. Everyone's helping, so I helped. Coming from the family where my mother's very involved, I picked up a J cloth and started wiping the tables. Another great person in our community, Cheryl Scran, saw me and spoke to me, and I know it's from that very point that she thought, there's somebody to get involved and do things in the community. So beware anybody who helps put away Kiddush. You will be co-convener after another 10 years.
Liz, you mentioned that Chazan Jackie inspired you to pick up and start learning services. What services did you manage to learn with Egil and Jackie?
The first service I learnt was Masaf on Shabbat morning and then Torah. I've been trying to learn Shacharit for Shabbat morning for years. I think I've done half of it, but I'm getting there. There's a slight blockage, but I'm going to get there. And finally, it was the Torah service for Rosh Hashanah. Jackie mentioned to me, at one point, you know, Liz, I think it'd be great if you led Torah service at the Yamim Noraim. And I said, absolutely no way. I am not ready for that. But, you know, the seed was planted. And a couple of years later, I felt ready. And so I phoned her up and said, you know what? Do you think is the office still open? And Jackie being Jackie was amazing and delighted. So I was really blessed to learn that with her as well. And I think, you know, it's a massive journey. I started the journey however many years ago, but I can't imagine finishing this journey for the rest of my life. And it's a wonderful thing. And I think having the support of the community is amazing. Having the support of a wonderful rabbi, Rabbi Joel, is fantastic. And Chazan Jackie, I'm just going to keep mentioning because she's so amazing. Of course, I went on a couple of Ijul retreats that she runs, and I think they were very important in my development as a Shliach Tzibur in terms of giving me the confidence to do what I needed to do and to fully understand the role of a Shliach Tzibur, because it's not a performance role. It's very much a role where you are the conduit for the community and you are bringing the community with you and guiding them and helping them to reach the place that they need to reach. So it's a huge responsibility. And I really feel that responsibility every time I go up there and I stand there and I'm connected to it. And I think because I've had certain experiences in prayer really been lifted up, that made me really want to impart that to others. I wanted to help others to really find that ability and have that experience. They're all moments. I always remember it doesn't happen every week. You go to shul, you have your service, and sometimes you reach that point and sometimes you don't. I remember a long time ago, there was a service which was just phenomenal and I reached the peak. I can't remember anything about it. I can't remember who was leading. I can't remember anything. But I just remember like, wow, that was what I want. That's what I'm looking for. That was wow. And I said to Jackie, why can't it be like this every week? Like, that was amazing. Can we make that happen every week? You know, she said, Liz, it's the moments. And these are all moments. And we have to treasure them because you don't get that every week. And I think that's really stuck with me, because rather than being disappointed that I'm not reaching that peak all the time, I really, really now treasure those moments where something very, very special is created. And I think at Kol Nefesh, the Yamim Noraim is really a moment for the whole community. And it's a moment that is really, really special. Ne'ilah, you know, at the end of this 10 days and Rabbi Joel leading the Ne'ilah service, that doesn't fail to take me to that place. And it's very beautiful.
That is so lovely. One of the things that the Ijul retreats do is they facilitate this teaching of creating a Kehila Kedosha, a safe space, and Kol Nefesh does it very wonderfully in their services when their services happening. During the COVID-19 pandemic, unfortunately, for nearly 5 months, we've been out of action, not being able to meet up and hold services in the usual way. How have you been managing as someone who's very involved in running of the services, not just as a Shliach Tzibur, but also as a co-convener of the shul?
It's been very different. Obviously, we've had Zoom services before Shabbat's come in. So that's been really nice, a sense of seeing the community. But I think it's been a loss, really. In terms of the services, getting together as a community and sharing the singing, it's kind of the sound bites. That's been a loss. I don't think that's something that we could recreate outside of the synagogue. I think all of the Zoom things that we've been doing in terms of community have been lovely, in terms of chatting to people, seeing people, even learning online. But actually creating that spiritual place is not something that I've personally managed to find during the pandemic.
Yes, please God, we'll soon be able to continue our services as we used to before the pandemic, especially with the high holidays coming up. We may not be able to recreate the same atmosphere on Zoom, but hopefully the marquees and the pots that Shul is hoping to organise will facilitate a meaningful high holiday experience to all of those who are able to come and join these services in person.
Absolutely. And actually having these podcasts and having the pieces of liturgy that Gilad has beautifully recorded and having those online, I think they are a way of really getting closer to getting that feeling, even if we're not together. So somehow hearing the liturgy and hearing the information about it, I really hope, you know, even if people can't make those personal services, that they'll be able to bring a little bit of Kol Nefesh's Yamim Noraims into their homes and their lives.
Absolutely, not to mention all the contents for Elul, which really is trying to bring high holidays to you. Well, not just to you as a person, but to you as a community.
Absolutely.
Is there maybe a specific memory from the service that you'd like to share with us? It could be anything that makes you think about being in shul with Kol Nefesh.
I think there's a couple of memories, I suppose. One's Kol Nefesh and one's not Kol Nefesh. The first one, which is not Kol Nefesh, is actually another moment that I treasured and that also contributed to my journey. When my son was just 1 year old, my eldest son, so that would have been 14 years ago, Danny and I went to Sfat for Yom Kippur. Having a baby, we couldn't really go into shuls for the whole day or anything. But we found this amazing Karlebach shul, which was in two rooms, women at the back, men at the front. But very much felt like it was on a level, even though there was a mechitza. It spilled out into this wonderful cobbled street with the street lamps. You know, it's very atmospheric. I looked after the baby for Kol Nidre. Danny looked after the baby for Na'ila. So I was able to go for a short time into the Na'ila service. And it was packed. And I was surrounded by all these women, many different ages, but a lot of quite young women, sort of 20s, totally engaged in the prayer experience. I went in there, I'll never forget this, and one of the women took a machzor from a shelf, found the page for me, and gave it to me. And I thought that was such a powerful moment. She found me the book, she found me the page, she was enabling me to take part in the service. And it's a small thing, but it's really, really important. And the second thing that hit me there was, I remember I was standing next to one woman who was just so involved and so connected in her prayer experience. She was absolutely belting out the end of Na'ila straight there to the heavens. I mean, she was engaged. She was in conversation at that moment with a higher level. And the power and the expression was so powerful. And it was such an amazing moment. And I just felt that's what it's about. You want to be that engaged in that prayer moment. You know, you felt that this was her last attempt to really say, you know, I want to be in that book, you know, and I'm sorry for everything I've done, or whatever it was she was thinking, or I'm going to do this. Or it was there. She was present. She was engaged. She was in the moment. And taking that forward to Kol Nefesh, yes, I do feel that Rabbi Joel and Chazan Jaki have worked really hard to do this. I think we have a wonderful Yalom Menorah in, but it's taken time. And I really want to acknowledge the work that they've done in getting the community to this point. I feel they have given the community permission almost to engage in prayer. I know, for instance, Rabbi Joel, he's got a wonderful voice and he really belts it out there. And that for me is fantastic, because if he's belting it out, then that's giving me permission to belt it out. And I'm not going to be louder than him, so it's it's okay. I do feel that in that Na'ila service, the whole community is feeling that and doing that. And the power of the sound and being in that sound is so wonderful.
Liz, we've hinted at it already, but we will now be talking a bit more about High Holidays, which are undoubtedly the holiest times of our Jewish year. What do you think makes High Holidays so special?
It's a great time to really stop and think about what we're doing, how we're behaving, our part in life, and where we actually want to be. And I think the 10 days really give us that opportunity. And the way that it's structured at Kol Nefesh with the theme, each year we have a theme, and we have learning that's structured around that theme across from Rosh Hashanah through to Yom Kippur. That's really helpful, brings up some topics that you might not have thought of. There's always some time at the end to link it to your own personal changes that you're trying to make. And I think it makes the whole time a lot more meaningful. You know, ending on Yom Kippur, you really feel at the end like you've been through something, and it's very uplifting. You feel you've been through it together, and it's very powerful.
That really sounds wonderful. From our discussion so far, it may not seem like this, but the focus of the podcast is really the High Holiday liturgy. For this podcast episode, you would like to talk about the Torah service. It is a service that you've been trained to lead, which is fantastic. What made you, beside the obvious, pick this part of the service?
Well, there's certain prayers in this part of the service that I think I've been connected with for quite a long time. And I think that always get me in the kishkas whenever I lead them. And I think that's why. There's one particular one which comes up again and again. It's not only in the Torah service, but it's Adonai, Adonai, Elrachum Vachanun. The Lord God is gracious and compassionate, patient, abounding in kindness and faithfulness, assuring love for 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin, and granting pardon. Now, these are the 13 attributes of God, and they're present, as I say, it comes again and again throughout the Yamim Noraim. It's also present in the Slichot as well. This particular prayer, I think it's partially the words and it's partially the melodies that really have stuck with me. There's the traditional melody that I grew up with, which goes like this. Adonai, Adonai, Erachum v'chanu, Erech apayim, Erech chesed v'emet, Nose chesed l'alafim, Nose ahon v'afesha, V'chata v'nakeh. And of course it goes on, and we, the time that I'm looking at in the Torah service, we repeat it three times. The first time is just the Shliach Tzibur. The second time is the whole congregation. And then the third time again is just the Shliach Tzibur. And I think this is a wonderful melody. It's really powerful. And I remember growing up in Bromley, it was a prayer that really, really resonated with me. I can't tell you why. Sometimes it's all about feelings. But I think you're not going saying, I've really messed up here. I've broken the vase. What can I do? Oh, you're really naughty. You shouldn't break the vase. You're going with a whole different thing. You know, the Lord is compassionate, patient, abounding in kindness. And it's all attributes that we want as well. And, you know, please, you know, with all these attributes, please forgive me. It's a very different way of connecting in terms of the changes we want to make and things that we may not be happy with about how we are. The melody itself, that it's about 100, 150 years old, it's a very well-known one. Just leading it back to my personal life, if I can. Funnily enough, I remembered that when I was doing my A-levels, I was looking for some kind of spiritual prayer. I'd done the revision, but I think I needed to find a way to pray as well. And I didn't know what prayer should I have. I looked through the Siddur, I couldn't find anything. I looked through the Mahzor, and two prayers popped out, and this was one of them. Anyone who's come to Kol Nefesh recently will know that we don't use that tune anymore, thanks to Chazan Jackie, who, when she was studying in America with Cantor Sol Zim, she heard his melody, the one that Sol Zim had composed. And we are very lucky to have that in our shul now, which is, I think, equally as beautiful. And that one goes like this. Adonai, Adonai, Erachum v'chanun, Erech apayim, Erech chesed v'emet, Nose chesed l'alafim, Nose ahon v'hafesha, V'chata v'nakeh. That just gets me every time. The interesting thing at this point is the saying it for three times. And I was thinking about that. There's something about the number three. It comes up again and again in Judaism. We say the Kol Nidre three times. There's three members of a Beit Din, the court of law. And also outside of Judaism, I don't know if people have heard about the whole marketing, advertising thing. It's the power of three. And you repeat something three times, it really goes in. Maybe the rabbis knew that. I don't know. But something about the Shliach Tzibur starting off and the congregation are listening to the words, they're taking them in. And then there's that moment that they join in. And I love that moment because there's this well of sound and the congregation are desperate to come in because they love this melody. That's my impression. And they come in with this wonderful wave of sound. And it's beautiful. And then it's almost like, let's get over that moment because that's taken me somewhere. And the Shliach Tzibur is there supporting the ending of that. We don't just stop it suddenly, but no, the Shliach Tzibur is there repeating it and finishing it off with that last one. So that's my opinion. That's only my personal take on it. But I think, you know, so much of the liturgy is about where we're taken and where we're taken with it. We can say words. Some people get a lot out of the words. And I think personally, I get a lot out of the melodies and the feelings. And that's where I want to take people when I'm leading. Just one more thing on that Jackie was kind enough to send me. It was about a midrash that is connected to this prayer. The midrash describes how the Almighty wrapped himself in a talit, like a Shliach Tzibur, and said to Moses, whenever the Jews sin before me, let them perform this procedure, the 13 attributes, and I shall forgive them. Because this prayer, these 13 divine attributes, taken actually directly from the Torah, and they're in Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7, just after the golden calf incident. So this is really about how can we get over making such a mistake? And this is where that first appears.
Thank you, Liz, for joining me today, and thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. It was a great privilege and a joy to be able to record conversations with members of Kol Nefesh about their liturgical highlights of the High Holy Days. At this point, I would like to wish the whole community a Shana Tova and a good inscription into the Book of Life.